In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The season of Epiphany began 15 days ago when the wise men from the East, Gentiles, came to see this Jesus born in Bethlehem. Epiphany reminds us that Jesus is for everyone. His life is for the world because he died for the world. And 1 week ago in the baptism of our Lord, Jesus manifested himself for all the world to see, placing himself under the wrath of God and in solidarity with us so that he might bear our sin and be our Savior. We heard the voice of the Father say, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." 1 week later, then, we celebrate now the transfiguration of our Lord, the Epiphany, the revealing of the hidden glory of Jesus. Today, the surface appearance of things swing open, and we see the glory of God. Today, we hear the voice of, again, "This is my beloved Son." And that is why today we pause and worship the glorified body of Jesus as a witness to our heavenly destiny. The Transfiguration shows us who Jesus is, that he is the true and very God. In those shining white garments, he is the Ancient of Days, whose raiment, Daniel says, shone as white as the snow. And in his shining face, as bright as the sun, his true divinity is revealed, as the book of Exodus so clearly tells us. The transcendent, all-powerful Son of Man of the book of Revelation is now shining through the humble earthly Jesus who is on his way to the cross. And the true meaning of his altogether human life is now revealed as the cloud overshadows him and the voice from heaven booms that this is the very Son of God. The Transfiguration also tells us that Jesus is the fulfillment of the Old Testament scriptures, the law exemplified by Moses and the prophets by Elijah. Indeed, the words from heaven, "Hear him," and the disappearance of those two Old Testament saints shows us that God's workings are no longer in the Old Covenant, but are in him who brings the New Covenant alone. With the incarnation of Jesus, the world will never be the same again. A new world is dawning. Salvation is at hand. Jesus' appearance in the flesh tolls the end of the old and the beginning of the new. Luke tells us that Moses and Elijah, who appeared with him on the mount, were speaking about the exodus that he was about to fulfill in Jerusalem. And of course, that exodus reminds us of the great, most significant act of redemption of God in the Old Testament, when he rescues the children of Israel out of Egypt, brings them through the Red Sea, nourishes them in the wilderness for 40 days, and then brings them to the promised land. The exodus that Jesus is about to fulfill in Jerusalem is the perfect fulfillment of what Israel failed to do. Exodus here means departure, referring to Jesus' death on the cross, his resurrection, and his ascension. And from heaven, Moses and Elijah knew that all the law and all the prophets awaited God's righteous Messiah, who must suffer first before he enters into his glory. The very same thing Jesus said just before the Transfiguration in his first passion prediction, when he tells the disciples, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised." Jesus' death puts to death the old covenant, and his resurrection raises up a new one. And now all things are made new, as we so clearly see in Jesus' body that shines with the glory of heaven, the glory of God. But there is another thing which is also true, that in our Lord's transfiguration, we have a foretaste of the world to come. Today, we see the future at the end of time come into our world before the end of time in the person of our Lord. The time when the righteous shall shine like stars in the kingdom of the Father. It is hard to overestimate the significance of this truth for us. For in our Lord's transfiguration, we see our own most glorious heavenly destiny revealed. We who are baptized into Christ, who are one with Him, who are part of Him, we too shall shine like stars in the kingdom of the Father, even though it doesn't appear so right now. St. Paul said it best. I reckon that the sufferings of the present time bear no comparison with the glory about to be revealed in us. For the anticipation of creation waits eagerly on tiptoe for the revelation of the sons of God. In the Transfiguration, we are also told that we shall participate in this destiny, in this world to come, right now, in this present evil age. We have the triumph of the world to come already now, ahead of time, in history, even though it doesn't appear so to our lives, even though all we see is sin and imperfection and rebellion and wickedness and death, even though all we feel is the weight of our sins and the threats of an evil and corrupt world, and the onslaught of Satan and his hordes. The church has always understood this truth because the church has always confessed that Jesus Christ is present in our worship, present for us as the Good Shepherd, even though it doesn't appear so like that to our human eyes. That here in our worship, forgiveness, God's forgiveness, God's final forgiveness is dispensed, even though it doesn't appear so to the world. That here in our worship, we sit at table with our Lord, with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of God, even though it appears much more common than all of that. That here in our worship, we respond to the heavenly gifts of God that He pours down upon us in His word and His sacrament. We respond in songs of praise with angels and archangels, even though it is only our voices that we can hear. What more glorious message is for us to preach than this message? What message could be better news for a world that is fallen than the news of future hope and present blessing? This is the most glorious news that we can hear, the most glorious news that we can preach, and the most glorious news that we can apply to ourselves. For when we are vexed by transgression, when we are struck down by our sin, sins that are secret or not so secret, we are forgiven. We, the baptized, who have the same status as the saints, as honored guests at the table of the Lord. When we are burdened by sickness, by suffering, by war, when we are burdened with the anxiety and the despair that means living in this burden-filled, fallen world, our victory is assured. The battle has been won. The enemy is defeated. We know the end of the story. For we have seen the end of the story in the transfiguration of our Lord. We know that Jesus goes to Jerusalem and to a cross, and 3 days later rises again. This is our hope. These are the glorious gifts that God gives. And this is the glorious destiny that the Transfiguration holds before our eyes. For only the assurance of the gospel, the assurance which we have already now in Christ, right now, only that truth can sustain us in our daily lives, especially when we feel the threats of the world all around us. For in the transfiguration of the body of His Son, God gives us a glimpse of our heavenly destiny and the privilege to participate in that destiny even now. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.